Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Constitution of Knowledge, A Defense of Truth, is a nonfiction book by journalist and public intellectual Jonathan Rauch, published by Brookings Institution Press. It examines how modern societies create and protect shared truth through norms, institutions, and practices rather than through authority alone. Rauch argues that knowledge depends on a public system of checking claims, correcting error, and preserving freedom of inquiry. Much as political constitutions structure power and restrain abuse, the book is part political theory, part media critique, and part defense of liberal science, responding to disinformation, polarization, and attacks on expertise. Its purpose is not simply to lament the decline of facts, but to explain why truth-seeking institutions matter and how they can be defended. Rauch writes for readers concerned about journalism, science, law, and civic discourse, especially in an era when public disagreement increasingly turns into epistemic conflict over what is real. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, The Constitution of Knowledge as a Social System for Turning Disagreement into Truth. Rauch's core idea is that truth in open societies is not produced by isolated individuals, but by a system of norms and institutions that convert disagreement into tangible knowledge. He borrows the constitutional metaphor to show that just as political constitutions organize conflict into stable governance, epistemic institutions organize argument into shared reality. The book stresses that this system is not formal law, but a durable culture of checking, revising, and testing claims. That framing matters because it moves the discussion away from personal opinion and toward the infrastructure of truth. In Rauch's account, knowledge survives not because everyone agrees in advance, but because dissent is channeled through procedures that reward evidence over assertion. This makes the book especially useful for understanding why debates in science, journalism, and public life can be productive when they remain connected to common standards of verification. Secondly, freedom of speech and fallibilism as the foundation of liberal science. A major theme of the book is that knowledge requires both openness and humility. Freedom of speech matters because any claim must first be allowed into the conversation. Without that permission, new ideas cannot be tested. But openness alone is not enough. Rauch emphasizes fallibilism, the principle that all claims must remain subject to criticism and possible refutation. Knowledge therefore depends on the willingness to admit that even accepted beliefs may be wrong. This combination of free expression and error-seeking creates what Rauch treats as liberal science, a method shared by science, journalism, and other truth-oriented fields. The point is, not that every opinion deserves equal credibility, but that every claim should be exposed to checking. By linking speech to accountability, the book shows why free inquiry is stronger than dogmatic certainty, and why institutions that suppress criticism weaken the social production of truth. Thirdly, peer review, specialization, and citations as epistemic checks and balances. Rauch draws a close parallel between constitutional government and the structure of knowledge-producing institutions. In political life, checks and balances prevent concentration of power. In epistemic life, peer review, replication, specialization, and citation prevent the concentration of error. These practices are not bureaucratic decorations, but the mechanisms that make knowledge reliable across large, complex societies. Specialization allows different experts to focus deeply without claiming total authority, while peer review and replication force claims to survive independent scrutiny. Citations and confirmations create a record of accountability, making it possible to trace where a claim came from and how it was tested. Rauch's argument is that objectivity is not the property of a lone genius, but the outcome of a disciplined social process. This helps explain why institutions such as universities, scientific societies, courts, and serious journalism matter so much. They are the arenas in which claims are made answerable to evidence and to other qualified critics. Fourthly, the reality-based community as a civic immune system against misinformation. The book gives special attention to the reality-based community, Rauch's term for the network of people and institutions committed to evidence, verification, and correction. This community includes scientists and journalists, but also lawyers, scholars, and others whose work depends on objective standards. Rauch presents it as a kind of social immune system. It detects falsehood, contains error, and helps society recover from informational threats. That image is important because it frames truth not as a static possession, but as an ongoing collective practice. The reality-based community depends on habits such as submitting beliefs to checking, accepting criticism, and distinguishing evidence from ideology. Rauch's concern is that these habits are weakened by trolling, propaganda, and the collapse of shared standards online. The book therefore reads as both diagnosis and defense. It explains why shared reality is fragile and why maintaining it requires active participation from institutions and citizens who value accuracy over tribal loyalty. Lastly, a liberal non-coercive response to the war on truth, Rauch is not proposing censorship or government enforcement as the main solution to misinformation. Instead, he argues for a classical liberal response rooted in self-correction, institutional reform, and renewed commitment to standards of evidence. This is where the book's political character becomes clear. It defends truth by defending the conditions under which truth can be argued for publicly. Rather than treating the crisis as a reason to abandon liberalism, Rauch treats it as evidence that liberal epistemic norms must be understood and maintained more deliberately. He recognizes the scale of the problem, from social media manipulation to partisan distortions, but resists the temptation to answer with central control. This makes the book distinctive among books about disinformation. It is less interested in outrage than in constitutional design for knowledge. Rauch's practical implication is that protecting truth depends on institutions that reward criticism, tolerate uncertainty, and resist pressure to replace inquiry with ideology. In conclusion, this book should be read by anyone concerned with journalism, science, law, democracy, or the credibility of public debate. It is especially valuable for readers trying to understand why modern societies struggle to agree on basic facts, and why that problem is more structural than merely partisan. Rauch offers more than a complaint about misinformation. He explains the machinery that makes shared reality possible in the first place, then shows how that machinery is strained by digital media, polarization, and attacks on expertise. That gives the book unusual practical value. It helps readers interpret current conflicts over truth without reducing them to individual bad faith alone. Compared with many books on disinformation, it stands out for its constitutional analogy and its focus on epistemic institutions rather than only on media habits or political rhetoric. It is also notable for being both normative and diagnostic. It defends liberal science as a civic achievement while acknowledging its fragility. Readers looking for a serious institution-centered account of truth in public life will find it distinctive, rigorous, and highly relevant. If you would like to support Jonathan Rauch, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.